May God bless our time of meditation today on his word for us, that word that we heard from our gospel reading today in Luke chapter 5. We heard a few moments ago in that reading about Jesus calling his first disciples. And then at the end of our gospel reading, we heard this great line, didn't we? For how did Peter and James and John respond to Jesus' call? After fishing all night and coming up with nothing, after nearly sinking under the weight of such a mighty and unexpected catch, after being informed that they would soon be catchers of men instead of fish, after all of that, Luke's gospel gives us this beautiful outcome in verse 11. Would you read it together with me? And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. You know, if all we knew about these first disciples of Jesus was this line from Luke 5, then it sure would be easy for us to put the disciples up on a pedestal, wouldn't it? To see them as some kind of superhuman individuals who respond to Jesus' call with such fervor that they're stepping on the back of his sandals, with such abandon that they leave behind their jobs and livelihood, with such devotion that they drop everything in order to serve him. We know a little better, don't we? We know these disciples a little too well for that. We know that they wouldn't always have their priorities in line. James and John would famously argue about having a seat of honor next to Jesus in heaven. Their number one priority that day was looking out for their own best interests. Simon Peter's priorities, of course, would get messed up too after Jesus was arrested and Peter was challenged about knowing Jesus. Peter flat out denied knowing him at all. Not once or twice, but three times in a row. Peter showed that his number one priority that day was saving his own hide. And there are countless other times, too, when the collective chorus of Christ's disciples looked more like confused children than faithful followers. Immediately after hearing Jesus foretell of his death, the disciples would argue amongst themselves about who of them was the greatest. Huddled in a boat and stricken with fear, the disciples would beg Jesus to wake up as a terrible storm raged around them. The disciples would rebuke people too, but not the ones they should. Instead, they rebuke people for bringing children to Jesus that he might bless them. The list of the disciples' not-so-great hits could go on and on, couldn't it? I remember one of my favorite professors back at the seminary in St. Louis used to say that whenever the disciples arrive on the scene, it would be fitting if we heard the Three Stooges theme song accompany them. For the disciples seem to bumble and stumble and fumble all the way. But they are not alone in that, are they? I appreciate how our liturgy this morning reminded us of just that. Did you catch that during our confession and absolution today? For the last few years here at Trinity, on second Sundays of the month, you know, we have used a liturgy called creative worship that changes, but it's always based on the readings from Scripture that are appointed for that day. And today's did a great job of highlighting the condition of three believers, three authors in Scripture. If you forgot what it said, it said this. Seeing Jesus' power, Peter blurted out, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Paul lamented, "If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful." And Isaiah cried, "I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips." Peter was a sinner. Paul's attention and devotion came up short. Isaiah was mindful of his sin and his weakness too. I don't know about you, but most days I feel like I could fit right in with the things that each of them are saying. I think of the times that I've become wrapped up in myself at the expense of those God has placed around me. The times I've worried more about what people would think than I've cared enough to tell them what they need to hear. The times I've known the good I ought to do, and I haven't done it at all. I trust that you can relate to those same feelings and regrets too. It was true of the disciples. It was true of Paul and Isaiah. It is true for you and me too, isn't it? And you know, it's one thing to nod our heads and to admit to that. It's not pleasant, but we're also not singled out, are we? It's somewhat easy to admit to something that everyone else around you is admitting to as well, isn't it? Perhaps that's why our corporate confession of sins that we do together in church is so much easier for us than personal, private confession with a friend or a pastor. There's security in being one of many who's admitting they've missed the mark. But what if the spotlight was turned toward us alone? What if we were singled out? What if everyone knew? What would you do then? What would you do if all the lowlights of your life were played here today in our church display for all to see? All your life's actions and inactions, your thoughts and your deeds, your words, and all the motives of your heart broadcast to your family and friends and people all over the world watching online. If all of that was exposed here, would there even be one of us who wouldn't walk out of church in utter and complete shame? I don't think there would be. It's one thing to admit that we are one of many in a sinking boat of sin, but it's another to admit and confess everything out in the open and all by ourselves. And yet I believe that's a little of what Peter experienced in our gospel reading. He knew that Jesus was special. He let him take his boat out from shore to teach the people. Peter even believed and trusted in Jesus' words, didn't he? He trusted in his words enough to let down his net again, even after an exhausting night of fruitless fishing. But what Peter would see next was more than he could have ever imagined. For when he let down his nets on the other side of the boat, as Jesus commanded, his net was not only filled up, but it soon was about to break. And his nets were not only filled to the max, but the nets of the other boat that he called over were soon filled to their limits too. And both nets were not only near the point of breaking, but the weight of the catch threatened to sink both boats as well. Can you imagine it? What a scene! And in that moment, don't you think so much became clear to Peter? I think it became terrifyingly clear. For it was clear to him who this Jesus was. It was clear to him what great power Jesus had. It was clear to him that Jesus was holy, and he knew that he was not. It was so clear, it was terrifying. And so Peter responds in fear. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." In other words, I think Peter is saying this, "You can't be around me, Jesus. I'm a sinner. You can't be around me, Lord. You're holy. You can't be around me, for I can't even stand in your presence." Peter has realized this terrifying truth. He is a sinner standing in front of the God of the universe. His life is completely exposed in the presence of Jesus. So he cries out for Jesus to leave him because he is a sinner. But notice what Jesus does. Or maybe, more specifically, notice what Jesus doesn't do. He doesn't leave Peter. He doesn't walk away. He doesn't leave Peter as a sinner to fend for himself. Instead, Jesus said this, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." Did you catch that? Jesus not only stayed with Peter, but he graciously called him and gave him the responsibility of following him and fishing for others to do the same. Don't you think that is why Peter and James and John left everything and followed Jesus? Not because of their faith, but because of the grace and the love and the faithfulness of Jesus for them. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus does the same for you. Jesus knows you through and through. He knows your greatest joys and your life's biggest regrets. He knows your best successes and your worst failures. He knows your sin, all of it. Jesus even knows your sinful thoughts and words and actions that you have worked overtime to try and forget. And yet he still loves you. He still stays with you. He still calls you to serve him through the many vocations of your life. And he speaks to you the same four words that he spoke to Peter. Do not be afraid. You see, this reading today from Luke 5 is not about the faith of the disciples, their willingness to leave everything behind, or their fervor to follow Jesus, but this reading is all about the faithfulness of Jesus toward them. For he doesn't leave them, but he stays with them. He forgives them, he equips them, and he graciously calls them to go forth and to serve others in his name. And Jesus' faithfulness would continue still further, didn't it? In fact, it would continue all the way to a cross, where Jesus would pay the penalty, the eternal price of all the sins of Peter and James and of John, for he would die to pay the penalty and the price of all of your sins and mine too. Not because we have so much faith, but because Jesus is so faithful to us. If you haven't heard anything else in our sermon today, hear that. Imprint it on your minds. hold it close in your hearts. Remember it today and always that Jesus is so faithful to you. For he has called you into his family through your baptism. He has given you the Holy Spirit to enlighten and sanctify you with his gifts and to keep you in the true faith. And like Peter and James and John, Jesus also graciously calls you to serve in his kingdom too, through the many vocations in life that God has given to you. Are you a parent? God calls you to serve him and others through caring for and raising your kids. Are you a son or a daughter? God calls you to serve him and others through caring for and respecting your parents. Are you a neighbor? God calls you to serve him and others by putting your neighbor's interests even ahead of your own. Are you a member of a church? God calls you to serve him and others by growing in your faith, by encouraging and supporting your brothers and sisters in Christ to do the same, and by continuing to meet together to do both of those things as well. Through all of the many vocations that God has given you, he graciously calls and he equips you to serve him and others by following him. You know, in light of Jesus' grace shown to sinners like Peter and James and John, what else could they do? What else could they do but drop everything and follow Jesus? In light of Jesus' grace shown to sinners like you and me, what else can we do? What else can we do but seek to follow in faith the one who has come to save us, who never forsakes us, and who graciously calls us to serve him and those around us in his love? In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen.